Well, if you are first time visiting, you are stepping into an ongoing sermon series that we are doing through the book of 1 Peter. And I love preaching through systematically through books, because you'll see this morning is when you're preaching systematically through a book of the Bible, you aren't given the option of picking and choosing which ones you get to preach on and the ones that you kind of leave out. And so just a little disclaimer this morning, okay, should we say it that way, is that most of us, when we read this portion that we're going to go up today, we go, oh, great, yay, you know? So there, what Peter does in this portion of Scripture, he doesn't pull any punches. He kind of just speaks to a truth. And for us, and again, in our modern-day culture, this isn't something necessarily that we love to hear, okay? And so my exhortation to you this morning is to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. There's this guy named Paul Tripp, and he has this phrase called, we have an inner lawyer inside of our heart. So constantly what we have is when we're hearing things, the lawyer inside our heart goes, no, say objection, you know, or reject that. Because you don't like that. And so my challenge to you this morning is to allow the Holy Spirit to quiet your inner lawyer and allow the Holy Spirit to work and massage and change the areas of your heart that need to be changed. Can we all do that? I'm saying that to myself because there was things in here that I was preparing this week. I was like, can I just skip over this part? But no, this is the beauty of reading the whole Bible, because it changes us and makes us more like Jesus. So here's my question to you this morning. Have you ever been misunderstood? Yeah. If you're a human, or if you've been alive for more than 5 seconds, you've been misunderstood. Have you ever been wrongly accused of something that wasn't true of you? Yeah. Now, the follow-up question is, how did you react when you were wrongly accused? How did you, what was your instinct to want to justify yourself and say, no, this isn't true about me, and you're running around trying to put all these fires out, and you kind of look like a fool during it, or was your, maybe your instinct was to fight, you know? Sometimes when somebody says something false about us, we get angry and we get irritated, and our first response is to be like, no, I'll show them, right? Well, for us who Peter this morning recognizes as exiles, what we've been talking about, as sojourners, as people who understand that this earth is not our home, he has a very, almost what we would feel contradictory answer to what we tend to do, either fight or flight, when it comes to false accusation. So let's look at it together this morning. If you have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen. If you don't, 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 11, and we're going to read down to 17. This is what he tells the church that is dispersed over what is now modern-day Turkey. He says this to them, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable." And when he's speaking about Gentiles, he's not necessarily speaking about a race of people. What he's saying is those who are outside of the faith, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it doesn't just speak about the easy things, that it gets to our hearts, that it changes us. It makes us more like you. And I pray that this morning, if there's areas of in our lives that need to be transformed and changed, or the way we think, the way we feel, our actions, whatever it is this morning, we surrender that to your lordship this morning. We lay down our will and our ways that you would increase and we would decrease. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So here, Peter is speaking to the guys who are exiles, to sojourners, people who are misunderstood, right? And that, I just asked that question, have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever been falsely accused? And we all personally feel that. But as a people together, think about what the church is known for today. It's kind of scary. What are we known for? We're known as bigots. We're known as homophobic. We're known as rigid. We're known as aloof and ultra weirdly religious. And you know, if you ever speak to somebody who doesn't have a relationship with Christ and you start talking, they go, oh, you're really super religious. And the world doesn't understand us, it misunderstands us. And so here Peter is going to give us this breakdown of, he's saying, well, okay, you're misunderstood, you're exiles, you're sojourners, you're different, your home is not this earth, it's heaven. What should you do with that? Well, he gives us right off the bat, he says this here in verse 13. This is his answer. And we would think, what? He goes, be subject for the Lord's sake to what? Every human institution. Now, everybody, everyone here, say everyone. Ready? One, two, three. Everyone. So what does everyone mean? Oh. And what does the word every mean? Every. See, Peter's not, we wish that we could go, I wish he meant something else by every. But every means every. Now, how can that be possible? How can we say, let's break it down. Let's talk about what Peter's actually saying here this morning, okay? So, when he says be subject, he's saying to submit. Ooh, that's a word that we don't like. Now, what does it mean to submit? To submit means to obey. But it's not just obedience that Peter's talking about. He's talking about willful obedience. See, I have four children, and if you are parents here this morning, will attest to the fact that when you ask your kids to do something, they can either obey or they can willfully obey. You guys know the difference? So if I ask my son, hey, stop standing on the couch, stop jumping on the couch. Now he can either, one, obey or he can willfully obey. As a parent, I want him to willfully obey. And so if all I'm worried about is moralism for my kids, I say, you sit down or I'll make you sit down, right? You ever say that as a parent? And so my son will sit down because, one, he doesn't want to get a spanking. So on the outside, he's sitting down. But what's happening on the inside of his heart? He's still standing up, right? And when God tells you and I to willfully obey to every human institution, we think, surely that can't be correct. How can that be? How can I willfully obey every single human institution? See, the thing that Peter is not saying, he's not telling you can pick and choose which one you obey. For me, I like to pick and choose when I get the speed or not. Right? Depends on what street I am on. If I know there's a certain cop going to be sitting there, then I know that I can go maybe a little 10 miles over the limit. And if there's, like, right here on Riverside, it's 35 miles an hour just right here, and I know I see police here, I choose to drive 35 miles an hour, but in certain areas, because something inside of me says, oh, my GPS tells me I'm going to get there at this time. Oh, you just bet, you know? I'll show you GPS. I'll get there 5 minutes extra, right? Or I kind of consider it a badge of honor if Ryan and I are driving to the same place, but I get there like 30 seconds earlier. I won. Did I break the speed limit doing it? Yeah. That's no big deal. Now, speed limit's such a trivial thing. And Peter's not just he is talking about the speed limit, not literally, but he's talking about every single human institution of authority. And see, the problem goes wrong is when we don't understand authority. Now, here is what Romans 13 says. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Paul says this about authority. For those of us who think authority is subject to whether we think we should be able to obey it, whether we personally feel about it, is whether we should obey it or not. This is what Paul has to say. He says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For what? For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So when Peter tells us every human institution to obey it, he's speaking about what the truth of authority is. And if we understand that all authority comes from God, then we should always obey. Now, I know what's going on in your minds. It's the same thing that's going on in my mind. It's like, are there limitations to that? Are there things that we need to ask the question before we get to this understanding of all authority comes from God? So why should we submit? That's a question we need to ask. And I think Peter answers it. He says, for the Lord's sake in verse 13. Now, let me explain to you what this means. We can all try to be good Christians. And that in a nutshell, is basically what the word religion is. Okay? Religion says that I try to do good, I try to be good, in order to please God. But our faith is not a religious faith that is based on the works of man. Our faith is based on the grace of God. And so if you and I try to go around doing what I'm saying this morning, say you have to obey every human authority out of our good works, then we've missed the plot. So we need to be doing this out of the grace of God. But we need to understand that this is an act of worship when we obey. He says, obey every human institution. Why? Not so that you could be good little Christians. Not so that every... It's so that you do it for the Lord's sake, first and foremost. Some of us in here are rule followers, and some of us in here are a little bit more like me, who go, well, that rule's not important. So Marianne and I, this is just an example. We're walking into Target the other day. Target has an in sliding door and an out sliding door. Right? You ever see that? And in the middle is this glass. Well, Mary, I walk into the out, because it's the closest to me. And Marianne walks into the inn. Now, here's my thinking. I actually got in a little faster because I was closer. But we both ended up at the same time. And she looks at me and she goes, you walked in the out. And I go, babe, it doesn't matter. There's a sense. If they didn't want me to walk in the out, they wouldn't have put a sensor on the outside for me to walk in. Right? See? Truth. Okay? And some of us here this morning... we're just bent towards wanting to follow the rules. And some of us here this morning are bent towards, if the sign says keep off the grass, I'm going to walk on it. If you wouldn't have had that sign there, I wouldn't have been tempted. But since But the issue is, whether we're a rule follower or we're a rule breaker, we both have this propensity doing it because it makes us feel good. And so what Peter's saying is not because of that, you say, do it for the Lord's sake. Do it because it's worship. What else does he say in verse 15? He says, it's God's will. You can't even argue with that one, okay? So if any of us here this morning, well, I don't want to follow the rules. I don't want to be subject to every single human institution. Well, it's the Lord's will. But then Peter also says here, the third point, he says, it silences foolish people. And this ties us back to verse 12 when he says, let your conduct among the Gentiles be honorable. See, for those of us who are misunderstood as Christians, the world's looking at us under a microscope, the way we act matters. Remember all that drama with Chick-fil-A? Remember? It was like, oh, we're going to boycott Chick-fil-A because they're homophobic. You know how fast that was squashed? Why? Because Chick-fil-A has this culture of loving and serving people. And so they have these Christian values, and people who identify, however they want to identify, they don't care. They want to serve them. And people who were so mad against them found themselves still eating their food. Why? Because it's darn good chicken, right? But they couldn't refute the fact that they were being served with the love of Jesus. And for you and I who are exiles, who are constantly being bombarded, who are being, the world is always telling us that we're, oh, you're this and you're this and you're this. First, we serve God, but we serve others because why? It refutes the foolishness of the world. And we truly love. So the next question we should ask, Peter, is to what extent do we submit? To what extent do we willfully obey? What if we don't agree with the law? Are we exempt? What if we just don't feel like, you know what? This is America, and I don't agree with that law. You know, it says 35. I don't agree with 35. This feels more like 45 right here. And I'm going to drive 45. I don't agree with that. No, Peter's not saying every human institution be subject to it unless you don't agree. So that, number one, is not an option for us. What about if it is difficult or inconvenient? Does Peter give us that option? Does he say, obey every single human institution unless it's difficult or inconvenient? My Bible doesn't say that. Here's the even tougher one. What about suffering? What if you're going to suffer if you obey this law? See, most of us at that point go, I'm out. Peter doesn't give us that option. The only time that we don't ever obey is when it causes us to sin. That's our only option. That's a hard pill to swallow. But you think about some, even Old Testament, right? If you grew up in the church at all, you heard the story of these three guys who have these really weird names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It sounds like Colors in the Rainbow or something, right? Every time I hear Abednego, I think of indigo, and then anyways. But these three guys, they were Hebrew men who lived in Babylon. And Babylon was ruled by this king called Nebuchadnezzar, another weird name, right? And so what Nebuchadnezzar did is he had all his crafters and all his artisans build this giant statue of himself because he was egotistical, he was arrogant, and, you know, he was all about himself. And what he did is all the guys around him to puff him up said, hey, you should make everybody at a certain time, whenever the trumpets blow, anyone who's in the vicinity, when they hear that, what they need to do is bow down and worship your statue. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who loved God, and they said, no, we can't do that. So here's a biblical example that helps us understand when we do and when we don't. So what they did is when the trumpets blew, what did they do? They stood still. They didn't bow down and worship. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He was mad. He threw him into a fiery furnace. And not only did he throw him into a fiery furnace, he said, make it 10 times hotter. He was so mad. And the guys that were throwing him in got burned up. Just the guys who were near the door, woof, catch on fire. That's how hot it was. What happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Nothing. Comes out. It says their clothes don't even smell like smoke. And there was a fourth person in there with him. It's Jesus, which is amazing. What does Nebuchadnezzar end up doing? He ends up repenting and worshiping God. Peter, the writer of this book, you see in Acts 4 and 5 where he gets taken into the Sanhedrin, he gets taken to the religious leaders, and they said, "Hey, we told you to stop preaching about this Jesus." And he says, "Listen, we cannot help but testify what we've seen and heard." And then he says, "Whether it's better to obey men or God, you decide. But we're going to obey God." So for most of us here this morning, it's easy to obey, right? Most of the rules, the laws of the land, you know, are good laws. But we can't choose and pick when we want to decide whether we obey or not. And ultimately, it's a heart thing that's going on. When I don't want to drive the speed limit, it's because my heart wants to be rebellious. I don't know what it is for you. The problem is that some of us here this morning might go, "Well, you don't know." I mean, like today, this day and age, it's hard. It's hard to obey the laws. You know, the church is under a lot of pressure, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And when Peter wrote this, he didn't really know. Well, let me just fill you in on some truth here this morning. When Peter was writing this, I don't know if you know who the emperor supreme was. It was this guy named Nero. Nero was a bad dude. Let me just give you some information about him. Born 37 AD, came into power at age 17. In 55 AD, he murdered his stepmother. 59 AD, he murdered his mother. 62 AD, he murdered his wife. 64 AD, he blames the fire of Rome on the Christians. So there was this great fire that happened, and all of Rome was saying, "Nero did it," and he says, No, it was the Christians. The Christians did this. And as a result, Christianity becomes under heavy persecution. He hated Christians so much that what he would do is he would martyr Christians, and he would light their bodies on fire and put them in his garden for his parties at night. So when people were walking around having hors d'oeuvres and drinking wine, the way it was lit up was by human bodies of the Christians. Brutal stuff. He spreads lies that Christians are cannibals. You know, we're going to take communion here this morning, and we drink the juice and we eat the bread, and we say that the bread represents the body of Christ and the juice represents the blood. And what he said was that, "Well, these people are cannibals. They're eating people in their religious services." It's audacious to think that Peter would say, "Honor everyone," and to honor the emperor supreme. Yeah, do we have it tough today as Christians? Things are getting harder. We're starting to be more and more misunderstood. Some of the freedoms that we used to have are starting to dwindle. Do we have it like Peter did? No. Church tradition even says that Peter was executed by Nero, hung on a cross upside down. Same guy that says be subject to every single human institution. That's some crazy stuff. How do we do this? Peter doesn't just leave it there and say, "Okay, do it." He gives us some helpful handles. He says that we are to live as people who are free. Now, how do we take this one idea that he's saying on this side here, be subject to every human institution, but then on the other side, he says, live as people who are free? See, here's what we are called to do as believers. We are constantly walking, so to speak, on a tightrope. And if you've ever watched anyone walk on a tightrope, if you've ever like watched them at the circus, or that guy who like was crazy and walked across the Grand Canyon a couple years ago, remember that? What do tightrope walkers do? Well, they have this long pole that they hold onto, and it's weighted on both sides. And so what this weight does is it helps balance them. It helps keep them center so that they can walk a straight line as they're heading towards their goal. The problem is that for us as Christians, or just as people, sometimes we like to hang on to one weight that we prefer. We like the weight of living as free people. Yes, that's my weight. I'm going to only hold on to that one, right? So what happens is we try to walk down the straight line, we hold on to this weight, what happens? boom, we fall off to the side because we just preferred this way. Or some of us are like, no, we should be rule followers and yes, be subject to every human institution. And we hold on to this weight over here, but with the weight of it, it drags us down. But what Peter does this morning is he gives us a weight. It's called two truths in tension. And we hold on to those truths and it helps us walk a straight line so that we don't get off on these weird tangents. So in one regard, he says, be subject to every human institution. But then on the other side, he says, live as free people. Now, what is he saying to live as free people? He continues to go, but don't let your freedom be an excuse for your sin, right? So here's the question, what is freedom? See, the world understands freedom as I'm free to just do whatever I want. You're free. You can go, you can do whatever your heart pursues, whatever you want, whatever your heart, whatever your flesh desires, you're free, just choose that. But for us who are believers, who are Christians, who have put our hope and faith in Jesus, we say we're free. But it's not just free to just fill our fleshly desires. It's freedom from sin, and it's freedom to choose what is right. See, before we subjected ourselves to the lordship of Christ, before our lives were changed, we were not free from that. All we would choose was sin, and we were bound by it. But when we were set free by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's freedom came upon us, and we were free not to sin anymore. And so when Peter says, live as free people, don't live as free just fulfilling the fleshly desires of your heart, but live in a free way that will silence the foolishness of those who accuse you of falsehood. Live in freedom in such a way that brings glory to God. See, because now you weren't a people, now you are a people. Remember we said that last week? And the beauty about freedom is we're free not to sin anymore. Hallelujah. That is such good news. When I am faced with the temptation of what I don't want to do and what I think I shouldn't do and what my heart and my flesh wants to do, I don't have to give in to that. Because why? Christ is alive in me and I'm free. Now, the other thing about this freedom, what Peter says here, this is the crux of everything and we're almost done. He says, live free, but he says this at the same time, live as servants of God. In Matthew 22, Jesus has this conversation with some Pharisees, and they're trying to trip him up. I don't know if you remember this, but they ask him, like, should we pay taxes? And all, and they're trying to see what he's going to say, and he says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But then he doesn't just leave it there. He says, render unto God what is God's. See, for you and I, who are living free lives as Christians, we're not here to say, oh, I'm not a citizen of earth, so therefore I could just do whatever I want. I'm a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah, God bless you, you know, whatever we want to say. And we start talking all religious, and we say, you know, I could do whatever I want. I'm a child of the king. I'm the head, not the tail. That's not what Peter's talking about. He's saying, yeah, live as free people, freedom from sin, but then live as servants unto God. And that question asks, what does God require of me, then, if I'm a servant? And I think Peter gives us three things. He wraps it up at the end. He says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, and fear God. So honor everyone. Let's just pound this in for a second. What does it mean to honor? It's hard to honor everyone. Because some people aren't honorable, right? Here's some polarizing stuff. You ready for this? In this room, there are probably Republicans, and there are probably Democrats. There are some of us in this room who voted for Trump, and there are some of us who voted for Hillary. And maybe the other way before, some of you might have voted for Obama. And who was the guy who was running against him? Yes, Romney. And for some of us who view Trump as either honorable or dishonorable, it's hard to honor everyone. We live in this culture that wants to tear everybody down. Yeah, like this thing going around called the people of Walmart, you know? If you don't know what it is, don't look it up, okay? But what it does is just makes fun of people. And again, it's not so that we could be good Christians. When Peter says honor everyone, he's not saying, hey, be a good Christian. What he's saying is worship the Lord. And so when we honor someone, we're worshiping. You know what we're really doing when we're honoring somebody who we feel is not honorable? We're looking over the shoulder of the person, and we're looking toward God. And you say, well, they're not respectable. Respect is something earned, but honor is something given. And I can honor, I can give honor to someone who I feel is not respectable. Why? Because I look over the shoulder and I see Christ. Just the gospel says that we should honor everyone. Why? Creation, we were created in the image of God. And so therefore we have worth and value. Our worth and value is not subject to how good or how bad we are. Our value is subject to the fact that God created us in His image. And even if you feel like there's nothing honorable to honor someone in, you can honor them in the fact that they were created in the image of God. Then he says, love the brotherhood. Well, just quickly, but this goes even beyond honor. See, because he's speaking to a group of people who are exile, and he's saying, man, give special affection to those who are in the body of Christ. Special affection. And this is just goes back to all we've been saying these past few weeks, even last week, how you are built up to be a temple. You're living stones. You're a priesthood. You're living together, and your relationships matter. They make a difference, and the way you treat each other affects the way that people look. Remember we talked about the building should reflect the architect, right? And so when we just treat each other like the rest of the world treats each other, the world looks at it and goes, see? They're just the same. There's no difference. Peter says, love the brotherhood. Affectionately love each other. And then last, he says, fear God. You know, this is really our motivation of how we can honor, how we can be subject. Again, this is us going back to when we're driving the speed limit, it's not so that I'm just doing it. I may be driving the speed limit on the outside, but on the inside, I'm driving 1,000 miles an hour, right? Because God doesn't care as much about what's going on the outside as He cares about what's going on the inside. And when I fear God, I reverently love and trust Him. I put my hope in Him. That's me saying, God, because You are a great God, because You're so worthy, let my driving the speed limit be worship to You. Let me, on the way I walk into Target, on the inside instead of the out in. That makes any sense. Let that be worship to You. When I love the brotherhood, let that be worship to You because I fear You. I don't want to dishonor You, God. When on Facebook everyone's posting all these things about how terrible our president is, and oh my gosh, I can't believe he said this, and blah, 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 blah. Lord, let me honor You. Let me not chime in and go, yeah, what a jerk. Let me say, God, let me pray for this man. Let me honor You. I see the value, the worth that You poured into him because he's created in Your image. Beautiful thing is that we have somebody who did this for us. And that's Jesus. See, Jesus went to the cross. He was accused of a lot of things that weren't true about Him. While He's hanging on there, people are mocking Him, spreading lies. You know, He saved Him. He saved others. Let's see Him save Himself. Every time I read, every time I hear it, every time I think about that, I go, Jesus, why didn't You just come off the cross and show Him what's up? But He humbled Himself, and He became a model for us. He became the means for us. See, when it's hard to submit, when it's hard to obey, especially when people are speaking lies about us, when they're misjudging us, when they're not understanding our intent, the temptation is to be like, yeah, we're going to come off our cross and call down the angels, and fire's going to consume them. And we'll be like, see? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus humbly laid down his life. And that's why we're here this morning. That's why you and I have been made a way for us to know God. Because he didn't fight. He honored. He laid down his life. And that's really what Peter's saying to you and me this morning. He's saying, lay down your life. Worship God first and foremost. Will you stand with me this morning?